So, who remembers what we talked about last time? Like last time we met, what did we talk about? We were talking about Saul. So we talked about Saul not obeying God completely, and that's the reason that Saul wasn't the king anymore. That's why God anointed someone else. But today we're actually talking about the anointing of David, and we're going to be talking about like what really matters in life. So I'm going to tell you guys a story. A few years ago, there was a bit of a fiasco at Starbucks. So this was hilarious, but Starbucks sells what we call marshmallow dream bars, and it's basically a Rice Krispie treat. But we can't call it a Rice Krispie treat because trademark. So we sell marshmallow dream bars. And someone bought a marshmallow dream bar, cut into it, opened it up, and on the inside there was a bunch of mold. So it was like a perfect looking marshmallow dream bar on the outside, but on the inside it was rotten. And they sent that picture around and it spread pretty quick. And there was a bit of a problem when people are like, wow, Starbucks is selling moldy food. So have you like ever thought about that? Like, would you eat that marshmallow dream bar? No. But it looked so good, didn't it? But what was on the inside, it didn't work. Like, could you imagine someone who only ate food because of what it looked like? Like if you went to their house and you opened the pantry and it was just a bunch of like wax bananas, but they looked perfect. But they obviously tasted like wax and they didn't actually help them at all. Like, would that make sense? No, not at all. You'd be like, you're an insane person. But how often do we do that with people? I was reading a Reddit thread a few months back, and the question was, what's something that's cute if an attractive person does it, but creepy if an ugly person does it? And one of the responses in that thread was everything. Right? Yeah. But like imagine that. Think about this. Like imagine that you're in class and like the really cute boy that you're super into, or if you're a guy, the really cute girl that you're super into is like staring at you and he's just making really prolonged eye contact. You know, if it's someone that you think is really attractive, you're gonna be like, oh, maybe he thinks I'm cute. But if it's like someone who looks like Danny DeVito, you're gonna be like, yeah. So, like, how often do we look at people and then we make judgments about those people on the wrong things? Right? But God isn't like that. And isn't it a wonderful thing that God isn't like that, right? And today we're actually going to be reading a story about how not like that God is. So it's 1 Samuel 16. This is immediately after the last thing that we taught on. Like, this is actually the next chapter. So Samuel just talked to Saul and was like, hey, Saul, God's taking the kingdom away from you. And the very next chapter, he goes to anoint someone else. So in verse 1, then the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. Which, isn't that just really speak to the character of Saul? When a prophet says he's going to do what God says, he's going to try to kill him, and like the prophet's actually scared. So God says, take a heifer with you, which is a cow, and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Or I guess it could be a cow. Maybe he's talking about Samson's wife. Ayo! That's a joke. And invited Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint him for me, who I declare to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he goes to Bethlehem, and then he goes to Jesse, he sets up the sacrifice, he sacrifices with them. And in verse 6, now Jesse is like taking all of his sons. And he's taken all of his sons in the order of age, and he's putting them in front of Samuel. And Samuel's walking to each one, and he's going to see, okay, which one does God want me to anoint? So in verse 6, when they came, speaking about the sons, he looked on Eliab and thought, and Eliab is the oldest of the sons. So Samuel's looking at him, and he's thinking to himself, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He's looking at this guy, and he hasn't talked to him. He doesn't know anything about this guy. All he knows is what he looks like, and he's just like, oh, this must be the king.
Isn't that what they did to Saul?
We're going to talk about that. Isn't that what they did to Saul? Something similar. We're going to talk about that. But in verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. So God says to Samuel, yeah, he looks good, but he's not the one I want. And so do not look on a hit, but the Lord looks on the heart. And then verse 8, Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Because God sends Samuel to Jesse, and he says, one of his sons is going to be my king. And then he looks at all of the sons, and God says, none of them. And Samuel's like, wait a second, something's off here. I thought it was going to be one of this guy's sons. But Jesse said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So they left out David. And we all know the name of David. Everyone who's been in church for like even 2 years knows who King David is. He might be one of the most popular figures in the entire world from Christian like stories and stuff. People know who Jesus is. People know who David is. People know who Moses is. Like, David is a big name. But at his time, his family didn't even bring him. Samuel says, I'm going to anoint one of your sons king. And they're like, it's no way it's David. Just in case it's not the oldest, I'll bring the other ones, but it's not David. And they leave him out. But here's the thing that we're going to talk about. While everyone else was looking at the outward appearance, God was looking at something different. So the first point is that God's values are different than ours. God values different things. God is different than we are. And sometimes that's kind of a hard thing to think about. Have you ever talked to someone and they're like, you know, I can't understand why God would do that. I would never do that. And they kind of like ascribe their characteristics to God, or they treat God like he's a person. But God's not. God's different than us, and it's a good thing he is, because God values different things. And let's compare David to Saul. Alex, you brought up, isn't that exactly what they did with Saul? Yes. Yes, it is. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2, this is what it says about Saul when it first introduces him. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Like, have you ever heard the expression head and shoulders above everyone else? That's literally Samuel. Like, Samuel was so tall that everyone else in the entire country, the tall ones were up to his shoulder. Home slice was big. So that's how it introduces Saul. What was his major claim to fame? He looked hot. And that's, of course, the basis of a system of government. So 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23 and 24, this is when they're introducing Saul to the entire nation of Israel. And when Saul stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Funny, it's saying it again. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted, long live the king. So Israel's totally down for this guy. They're like, man, this guy looks good. And they're looking at the wrong thing. But God doesn't look at that stuff. You know, everyone thought that Saul was going to be a great king because he was big and attractive. But in comparison to that, David's own family didn't think he was worth anything. Well, not to say that they didn't think he was worth anything, but they definitely didn't think he was king material. They left him by the sheep. You know, Samuel said, bring all your sons, and they left him out. So that's the first thing, is that God values different things than we do. God doesn't value the appearance. God doesn't just look on the outside of the marshmallow dream bar. He sees the mold inside. Right? So we're going to keep reading. We're going to talk about one more thing. God sees more than we do. So not only does God have different values than us, not only does God care about different things than us, but God doesn't miss anything. Like, have you ever done something for your parents? Maybe you did a chore, or like you did a good job on an assignment and they just didn't notice. Or maybe for your teachers, or maybe for your like fill in the blank. Like, have you ever done something and then just not been appreciated for it? Just no one even noticed? Yeah. We've all been there, right? Do you know that God sees everything? That there's not a single thing that he misses? Which is reassuring, but not necessarily just reassuring. You know, when you're looking at someone like Saul looked great. People loved him. People thought Saul was fantastic. And everyone was expecting him to be great. Like, talk about someone who has everything. He was attractive. He was tall. He had a kingdom. And even so, he had nothing. God rejected him. But then you look at David. We're going to read on. And in verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he, speaking about David, was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So now David's been selected king. And let's remember why. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, when God is judging Saul for offering a sacrifice, he says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be a prince of his people. So God looks at David because David cares about the things that God cares about. And maybe no one else saw that, but God did. God saw David. When David was off alone tending to sheep, when he was alone and there was no one like recognizing his prowess, God saw him. And sometimes we have this weird idea, like this kind of a bizarre idea, that the only way you can serve God, the only way that you can really be spiritual is if like you're a pastor or if you're in some spiritual office. Tending sheep is not a ministry, right? Like how many people is, you know, David preaching to on a regular basis as he like shears a couple sheep or like feeds them or something, right? If you're talking menial, like being a shepherd, it's kind of similar to being a janitor. And we have, as Christians, we view shepherds very highly because so much of the Bible is based on shepherding and because David was a shepherd. But it wouldn't have been like that back then. You know, even in Egypt, the fact that the people of Israel were shepherds, that made the Egyptians refuse to eat with them. Like shepherds were not viewed highly. That was like a low menial task. And yet God picks a shepherd. And one of the things that we need to understand is that you don't have to be in ministry. You don't have to be in some spiritual position to be serving and honoring God with what you do and with how you view him. You can be anything because God doesn't care about what you do. And God obviously liked David. You know, sometimes we can get distracted by what people look like or what they have. You can walk into someone's house and you can see like a bunch of trophies on their wall. Like if you walked into Michael Jordan's house or something and you just see like trophy after trophy and like jersey after jersey and you're just like, man, this guy's got stuff. This guy's got accomplishments. This guy's done things. Or maybe you walk into someone's house and they just have a wall, like 5x5. I don't know, wait, that's not too big. Let's say it's a 15x15 wall just filled with degrees. It's like a super big wall. It's just filled with degrees. And you're like, man, this person did things. This person knows things. They're pretty cool. Or maybe they got cool clothes. Or maybe they've been in a bunch of movies. And like, you can look at someone's accolades and think to yourself, that's a cool person. That's a person that I want to emulate. That's a person that's got it all together. But did you know that God doesn't care about that? Like, think about the fact that people liked Saul and they thought he was so cool. Did Saul do anything to be taller? Did he, like, eat his veggies, have a bunch of surgeries, and then just, like, focus really hard and then grow? Like, who made Saul tall? God. Who makes people smart? God. Who gives people opportunities to have cool jobs, or who gives them that lucky break that makes them famous? God. And the thing is, when God looks at people and they have all these accolades and stuff, he's not impressed because he gave that to them. Like, imagine if your parents gave you a shirt. Are they going to be super impressed in your style and how you were able to, like, pick out such a cool shirt? No. They gave it to you. It was their style. It was their choice, right? In the same way, God's not impressed by people who have a bunch of things from him because he's the one who gave it to them. Yeah. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, it kind of, like, captures that. And it says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. He doesn't care about material things. He made them. He gave them to people. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. You want to know what God cares about? God cares that you're humble towards him. God cares that you care what he says. God cares that you care about God. And realistically, have you ever heard the phrase, like, you can be whatever you want to be?
Yeah.
Is that actually true?
No.
No, it's not. Like, that's a real thing. Not everyone's as smart as everyone else. Not everyone's as strong as everyone else. Not everyone's as tall as everyone else, or as athletic, or as healthy. Realistically, you can't be whatever you want to be. So in that sense, isn't the playing field a little bit unlevel? Isn't that a bit unfair? Well, no. Because ultimately, that stuff doesn't matter. God gives to one person one thing, he gives to another person another thing, but what really matters when it comes down to it? What matters most? How many trophies you have, or your relationship with God? Your relationship with God. And God doesn't care how smart you are. God doesn't care how strong you are. God doesn't care how many Instagram followers you have. God doesn't care how much money you have. God doesn't care the number of accolades behind your name, the number of trophies on your wall. God cares about none of that because God gave you whatever you have anyway. What God cares about is the way that you view him. So maybe none of us are going to be the next big actor. Maybe none of us are going to be some super like rich Bill Gates kind of thing. Maybe none of us are going to be super famous or super rich or whatever. But every single person in this room has a fair shot at being the single person in the world that loves God most. Have you ever think about that? There's absolutely nothing keeping you from that. There is no barrier in your way. There is no thing that's like outside of your control that can stop your relationship with God. Whatever opportunity you have, you have. David was shepherding sheep. He was just out in the pasture doing what his parents had him doing. And yet, he was identified as a man after God's own heart, and he was given the kingdom. So when no one else sees your character, when no one else sees your heart, when no one else knows what you think about God, when no one else, like, when you're not the center of attention, God still sees you. So focus on that. What ultimately matters isn't the material things. What ultimately matters is, how does God view me? And everyone has a fair shot at being the most God-loving, Christ-loving person in the world. So pursue that. So with that, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray it out. Lord, thank you that you don't care about the things that we care about. Thank you that you're not as vain as we are. Thank you that you're not as blind as we are. I pray that you would help us to value the things that you value. I pray that you would help us to see that ultimately what you think about us is what matters most. I pray that you would help us to care what you think, to have humility towards you, to have love towards you, that we would read what you have to say, that we would care about it, that we would pray, and that we would live it out. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us just to understand that the material world, it passes away. The trophies we have, the money we have, the accomplishments we have, all of that pales in comparison to how we view you and to how you view us. So I pray that you would help us to pursue the things that really matter. And we pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.